The word for anger, I think I mentioned dvesha. Dvesha is a word that's often used. Here's another one, pratigha. Prati, P-R-A-T-I-G-H-A, pratigha. Pratigha comes from a Sanskrit root that means to kill or to hit. So pratigha means like, you know, you wish people would drop dead. And, you know, really, that has helped me a great deal. I wanted to do this anger thing because, I've had a lot of trouble with anger in my life. And I was thinking about it this afternoon. You know, maybe this is not quite maybe genetic, but at least, like, you learn it as a child. I grew up in a household where, you know, people were quite angry. And then you feel, you know, like you learn that that's maybe an appropriate, or supposed to be appropriate response to, like, you know, disagreement or something like that. And so it just replicates itself, doesn't it? So anyway, this has been a struggle with me my whole life. And so I feel like I'm something of an expert in anger. But it wasn't the Buddha I picked. I mean, it wasn't my lucky dip Buddha, but it was Cindy. So, so we're just exchanging. We're exchanging. Okay. So this has helped me a great deal because we try to justify it. We try to justify our mental afflictions. And anger especially, for some, I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to really get a big argument going for ignorance. You know, just as a fact, I mean, we could get a big argument going about the ignorant thing, with the things that we're ignorant about, but ignorance itself, you know, doesn't, like, nobody's really going to, I'm for ignorance, you know. But there are people, you know, who defend anger as a positive thing. Maybe you're one of them. In some ways, our modern therapeutic society encourages us to do this also. And in this, they are absolutely wrong. Okay? So, I mean, sometimes as a spiritual practitioner, you've got to fight the power. And there is a sort of a strand of modern psychology that says it is a positive thing to express anger. Get it out. Express it and get it out. Otherwise, you know, it's unhealthy. Now, here's where they're right and here's where they're wrong. It is not a healthy thing to repress anger. That's for sure. Keeping anger repressed is not going to work out. Freud was right. If you repress something, it just like spills out over the edges. You know, it's like trying to push down dough or something like that, and the dough will just like spurt out the edges. It's not about repression. Repression won't work. So as far as that goes, they're right. Don't repress anger. But to say that anger will somehow, that the solution to anger is to express it, is absolutely wrong. All you do by expressing anger is feel better about being angry in the future. It perpetuates the habit. It perpetuates the habit. So the purpose is not to repress anger, nor is it to express anger. Express anger, we'll talk about all the reasons why it's stupid to express anger. Express, to express it, to let it go. All the reasons why it's self-destructive and destructive for the people around you. If you need some help in this, I'll help you along for a while. But if you're really struggling with anger, I recommend the sixth chapter of a book called The Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. The Guide to a Bodhisattva's Way of Life. You'll find it in English translation very easily. And it's, I don't know how many, 150 verses maybe, something like that, in which the author just lists all the reasons why it's stupid to be angry about anything ever. All the reasons why it's completely dysfunctional and stupid to ever be angry about anything ever. And by the time you're done with 150 verses like that, he's just got like every one of your excuses covered. So, you know, I'll try to get as many covered as possible, but, you know, I only have an hour or two. So if you need more help with that, I recommend that text. So what was I talking about? How was I going off on that?
I think we could teach that in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Oh, okay, anyway.
Not expressed.
Oh, right. Right. So the point is not to repress anger, but the point also isn't to just express it either. All that does is give the habit more energy. So here's the point, to eradicate it altogether. To eradicate anger, not to repress it, not to express it, but to kill it. So that's what we called it here. Exobia 1, killing anger. To kill it, to eradicate it. And that is possible. I believe it's possible. I have not eradicated all my anger, but I have eradicated so much of it that I think it's possible to finish someday to finish it off. Because I used to have so much of it, and so much of it's gone. And it didn't just go away on its own, okay? It didn't just happen. Things don't just... Have you noticed that things like that just don't happen? Like, so if you're waiting for the patience fairy to come and knock you on the head some night with the patience, you know, like, spell, so that you don't actually have to do anything to get rid of your anger, you can wait a long time for that. You have to work at these things. You have to work at it. You have to discipline yourself. So one of the ways to start working at the foundational level. The foundational level means that you're trying to combat anger with its antidote. And the antidote for anger is patience. Sometimes the word forbearance is used. It's kind of an older English word, right? We don't usually use that word much anymore. It's a little bit 19th century. But it gets at it quite well. Forbearance means you put up with it. You put up with poo-poo. And you don't just, like, go ballistic, you see? So you put up with patience like that. So in the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, the text that I was talking about, the chapter 6 begins with a verse that says, There's nothing worse than anger. There's nothing worse. It's the worst thing that can... It destroys your entire happiness. It destroys your relationships. It destroys the happiness of people around you. It's just entirely negative and destructive. And then it says, and there's nothing harder than patience. There's no tapas, for those of you yogi people in the room. Tapas means austerity, ascetic practice. There's no tapas harder than patience. So this is written in a text where, you know, back in ancient India, where tapas meant like people were like sleeping on nails and walking on fire and, you know, living in caves and stuff like that. He said, never mind about that. That's relatively easy compared to being patient while someone's in your face pushing every button you got. Being patient like that is harder, is the hardest thing to do. So if you're interested in killing your anger, you better gird your loins for a big knockdown, drag out fight, because it isn't going to be easy. Don't underestimate your mental afflictions. Especially if it's numero uno. If you lucky dipped it. Or if you know that, never mind the lucky dip, if you know that it's your, you know, it's your big one. You've got to prepare for a big fight, and one that might last for years or decades. Okay? So then, how do I prepare for a good fight? Well, then the text goes on. These are verses from the sixth chapter, the chapter I've talked about from the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. When the thorn of anger is lodged in the heart, the mind can know no peace. So here he begins a series of verses on all the disadvantages there are to anger. So this is one thing we have to be clear on. You know, if you're going to try to fight something, especially if it's deep-seated in your psyche, something like anger, if it's deep-seated in your psyche, you gotta convince yourself that it's not good to have it. It's like having cancer. It's like having a cancer. And you want to try to get the mindset of saying, I want to expel this from me. You see, like having a tumor. I'd like to get this tumor out of me. Instead of thinking of it as like your little friend or making rationalizations and, you know, justifications for it like that. I used to be a cigarette smoker for like 30 years. And I had a, you know, cigarette smokers, as maybe some of you know, hang out with other cigarette smokers almost exclusively. And so I had a friend who was also a cigarette smoker, and he used to call cigarettes his little friends. He said, "They're my little friends." And, you know, because they're always there for you. You know, you wake up in the morning and there they are. And, you know, you're hungry and you have a cigarette, not so hungry. You eat a nice dinner and then afterwards you have a cigarette, it tastes so good. Have a cigarette with your latte, you know, they're just always there for you. And sometimes I think we think of our mental afflictions as our little friends. You know, it's my anger, it's my anger. And it's me, it's part of me, and it's mine, and so that's not the way to get rid of a mental affliction. The way to get rid of a mental affliction like anger is to think of it as a cancerous tumor. And so he goes into it. He says, like, come on. When you're angry, your mind is upset, can know no peace. You can't be angry and peaceful, angry and happy at the same time. These are mutually exclusive. So do you want to be happy or not, you see? And then, you know, there's the worst part of us says, you know, I don't care. When the anger comes on, when the mental affliction arises, we throw out rationality. We throw out our own self-interest. We throw out our own best self-interest. You know how it is? With anger, I think, you know, it starts here, in the pit of your stomach. For those of you who have experienced anger, is there anybody here who has besides me? And it's like that movie Alien. It feels like there's an alien that's woke up down there. And then it starts to rise. In English we say this, my ire rise. Ire, as in Ireland, I guess, where there's a bunch of angry guys, people. The anger rises. And there's a point of no return. There's a point, I don't know, somewhere in here where it's just like, I don't care anymore. I don't care about like this, all that stuff I heard at the ashram. I don't care about the guides of the Bodhisattva's way of life. I don't even care about my own happiness. I'm just going to go for it. Right? It's irrational. You lose your temper. Think about that expression. Lose your temper. Temper is like tempered. It's like, you know, balanced. You lose your mind. You lose your temper means you lose your mind. You go crazy. You go temporarily insane. And then the mental affliction sort of has you by the throat and like knocks you around for a while. You lose control. Isn't it? Anyone had this experience? You don't seem to know what I'm talking about all that well. Where you completely lose your control and you say stuff that you would never say otherwise to people that you would never say otherwise, and you know, you just are completely out of control. And then, you know, for as long as the mental affliction has you by the throat, like in those cartoons where they're just like bouncing you over the awful walls, you know. And then after, you know, whatever it is, 15, 20, 30 minutes or 2 days or 10 years or however long it lasts, then you like come to your senses a little bit more and go, oh, you know, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, I'm sorry. I lost my temper. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. As if like you could take it back somehow. As if like you could reverse the film and make it all go away by saying, I'm sorry. And it doesn't work that way, actually. They heard it. And you can't make them unhear it. When you say the things that you say when you're angry, they hear it. The people hear it. And you can't just make it go away by saying, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it, or I didn't mean it, or the mental affliction just had me and I couldn't help myself. So, you know, you think these things through. You think these things over and over again. Like, how disadvantageous it is to you and your happiness and to the people around you to be angry ever about anything. Ever about anything. Completely disadvantageous. When the thorn of anger is lodged in the heart, the mind can know no peace. It obtains no joy or happiness. It's like those old westerns where, you know, a gunslinger would come into an old Wild West town and, you know, And there'd be the sheriff, and the sheriff and the gunslinger would have a showdown. Because anger and happiness are going to have a showdown. Anger and happiness can't survive in the same town. Somebody's got to go. It's like Ned Kelly or Sheriff, whatever he was. But one or the other's got to go in the showdown at the OK Corral. And you know, if you're like most people, anger has won that showdown pretty much every time. Anger has won that showdown, in that showdown between happiness and anger. So one thing is to get clear on, I want to be happy, damn it. Life is short. And it's getting shorter all the time. Tick, tick, tick. And I don't want to waste any more of my life being unhappy. Being the victim of a force that is designed to disrupt my happiness. That's what anger is. Designed to. You know, in the same text, they say you should think about your mental afflictions as your worst enemies. Your enemies are not external to you. They're not outside of you. They're inside of you. External enemies, they've got all kinds of other things to do besides being your enemy. You know, like terrorists or something like that in Afghanistan. They got whole lives besides being your enemy. You know, they're raising children. They got goats probably. You know, they've got... I always think they like to think that they have hobbies, you know, up there in the caves, up there, terrorist caves. They're like collecting postage stamps maybe or something. You know, the point is they have whole lives besides being, once in a while they punch in, okay, I'll be a terrorist now. I'll be an enemy. I'll be your enemy for. But your internal enemies, they don't have hobbies. They don't have families. They don't have goats. They got nothing else to do but make you unhappy. That's their full-time job. And to start thinking of them that way. To start thinking of a mental affliction like anger as your heart enemy or your, you know what I mean, your worst enemy of all time, the enemy that's destroying you, the cancerous tumor, fed by irritation that comes from getting what I don't want and not getting what I do want. Anger is inflamed and destroys me. So this is kind of an important verse. So how come anger happens? Anger happens, the little alien in the stomach arises because of irritation. The word in Sanskrit is dauramanasya. Cindy, would you mind? Dauramanasya is a very interesting word in Sanskrit. The daur part is related to a prefix dur, which you also see in the word dukkha. Dukkha means suffering, bad. It means the prefix means bad. And then manasya is related to the word manas, which means what? Who knows? Manas. Mind. So dauramanasya means bad-mindedness. So the translation here is irritation. You know, this is grumpiness. Grumpy. Being grumpy, you know? And so, you know, if you're interested in fighting anger, you also have to identify, like, when is it that you're grumpy? Under what circumstances do you get irritated or grumpy? You know, like waking up on the bed, on the wrong side of the bed, you know, that kind of feeling. And for most people, here's a couple of possibilities. You didn't get enough sleep at night. So if you're interested in fighting anger, you're mandated to make sure you get enough sleep at night. In fact, it's part of our practice in general. Even if you don't have anger, you'll probably have some other mental affliction if you haven't got enough sleep. Because you're not firing in all your cylinders. You're cheating yourself. So now, you know, some of you have heard this before, but some of you haven't. Now you have heard, you have paid money to come to an ashram and heard a Buddhist monk mandate that you get enough sleep at night. So you can go home and say, you have an excuse now. You got a note from your doctor, from your teacher. So when your friends or your husband or your wife or children say, like, you know, how come you're still sleeping? So I'm doing my practice. I'm doing my spiritual practice. I got to sleep. I got to get 8 hours of sleep at night. 8-10 sometimes you need. And how many of us are getting 8-10 hours of sleep on a regular basis? I mean, some people don't need that much. But most people do, actually. Most people in our culture are cheating themselves to sleep. Since the invention of electricity, most people are not getting enough sleep at night. So, if you're not getting enough sleep, you're prone to dharmanasya. If you're not eating right, if you go long periods of time, I know people like this, I'm a little bit like this, but I know people who are really like this, who if they get too hungry, forget about it. They just go off on you in a second. Because they just, you know, didn't bother to eat right. So there's some very elementary things like this, okay? I used to be a runner, and I used to run along a boardwalk in California along the beach. And according to, you know, me and my fellow runners, that boardwalk was for runners. That boardwalk was for runners, and then the bicyclists, well, it said it was for bicyclists, so I guess we had to admit that it was sort of for bicyclists too. But it certainly wasn't for people from the valley where Mira lives, who came to, you know, our beach town and walked four abreast on the boardwalk, making those of us whose boardwalk it was having to get off the boardwalk and run in the sand around them. And I, you know, every day I would like go out, and there they were again. They came out from Sherman Oaks again. And we would take up the whole damn boardwalk. And it would just piss me off like crazy, day after day after day. Finally it dawned on me, like, you know, they're going to be there today too. So what the hell, you know, why are you just like replicating over and over and over again this experience of getting pissed off at something that you know is going to happen? You see? Just expect, so you can, like, in your own lives, you know, expect stuff like that. If you're commuting to work at peak hour, you can expect, like, being caught in traffic. Just expect before you get out of the house, I'm going to probably be in traffic. So then you won't, like, sit in traffic going, oh my God, I'm so, you know, pissed off again today. Right? Avoid the dharmanasya. See, that's the point. Avoid those situations, those kind of conditions that would make you irritated, which then leads to anger.